those of you who have been listening to the SNME NXT podcasts will know that I've not been massively keen on the build-up to Stand and Deliver. Really, I thought it was okay. The go-home show wasn't great. And I wasn't massively looking forward to this event. I was wrong. Because, and it's the first time that anyone's heard me say that, and it's the last time you'll hear me say that. Although probably not. However, this was a rather excellent PLE, Premium Live event. Now, firstly, just before the main event, or the main programme started, we had the countdown, on which we had a match, which was Joe Gacy versus Sean Spears. Now, there wasn't a lot in this. Spears mainly attacking Gacy and smacking him up quite a lot. Ridge Holland, who I thought had gone. We were very sad to see him go. Well, actually, not many people were sad to see him go. Not last week anyway, judging from the crowd noise. However, here he is, smacking Gacy with a chair as he arrives. So I don't know if he's Sean Spears' man now. Maybe he's going to be some kind of butler for him. Maybe he'll be butling. To buttle. I buttle, you buttle, we all buttle. It is a word in the UK. So, and probably worldwide, but not used anywhere else, of course. The match was all right. Nice Boston Crab from Sean, but Gacy's slingshot moonsault was lovely. And after Sean Spears hit a pedigree, there was the springboard back elbow from Gacy for the pin. So Gacy won. But surely Spears is your big acquisition, isn't he? Isn't he your newest acquisition? What? Why are you... What? Yeah, it looks like Sean Spears' push is over, doesn't it? I mean, maybe he'll be shuffled into the pack like Lexus King. Not Lexus, Lexis, who wasn't on this event at all. So, let's go through the evening. Firstly, we have Metaphor, because they're kooky and wild and so funny. They're not that funny. Noam Dar is funny. The rest of them just seem to shout. And that's not really funny, is it? However, they do a sort of sitting around the table, like La Famiglia. I wish we were La Famiglia. Then they do a Chase U skit. I have to say, I zoned out a bit on that. And I generally do sometimes with NXT, don't I? Because I thought, I know what you're going to be doing, you know. So it's not really that. And the thing is that Noam Dar is a great wrestler. And he's great behind the stick. But this Metaphor thing isn't working for me because the other shouting and screaming tends to crowd him out because you've only got a certain amount of time and everyone needs to have something to say. So it's like the apparent Charlie's Angels cutting up of the different lines where everyone needs to say something in every scene. So they all need to say something. So Noam Dar gets a quarter of what he would say. Just give him the mic and let him speak. Right, here's your first match. Oh, it's a doozy. It's the Wolf Dogs versus Phrase Zier and Axiom. Well, you know it's going to be good. Because Phrase Zier and I'll call him Nathan, and an Axiom can really move and will take it to a slower but more powerful Wolf Dogs. I mean, they're over the top immediately, the team of Nathan and Axiom. Then there's an Axiom moonsault onto both of them. Only then does the bell ring. Love it. I love that action. You've got Fraser Zier holding Axiom for a drop kick. He holds him so that he can drop kick both of them, actually. Counter DDT from Axiom. Then, or was it Fraser Zier? Then he avoids Corbin, I think it was. But Corbin's back with a clothesline. He finally grabs him. I see where you're going now. And there are cheers for that. I mean, the fans, they're both baby faces, which doesn't happen very often, does it, in wrestling? So I like that very much. Then you've got Braun shoulder block, which sends... Oh, no, first of all, there's a Corbin brainbuster into a breaker shoulder block, which sends Axiom inside out. He really sold that well. He refuses to pin him, though. Yes, does press-ups and gets some cheers. Marvellous. Then Fraser Zia's counter slop drop. Or Scorpion Death Drop, if you like. And Standing Shooting Star. I mean, that's a thing of beauty, isn't it? For a two count. Corbin sort of gets an end of days. It's like I'm preparing for one. This is my semi-end of days. To Nathan. Powerbomb to Axiom. But Axiom is back up for a really big drop kick right to Bron's face. I mean, his chin, really, you could really see. Like when you see boxing pictures and somebody's chin is really, really caved in. And it was a bit like that. He got a long two for that. Then there's this is awesome chant. Quite correct. Spanish Fly from Axiom and the 450 from Fraser Zier for a 2.999 recurring. Bron gets the superplex to turn Fraser Zier inside out. And then Corbin flies from the top. You don't often see that, do you? For a 2.99 of their own. Nathan gets the Phoenix Splash. Bron has to break it up. Bron then gets the spear out of nowhere. Corbin very quickly gets the pin because they work so well as a tag team. And my word, they retain the belts. That was fabulous. And then followed by this, which is the triple threat for the North American belt. This was the match of the night. There's no doubt about it. Dijak versus Briggs versus Obafemi, the champion for the title. And they all brought it, particularly Dijak, who I believe deserved to win this match. Let me tell you why. So, Femi, first of all, deals with both of them, throws them both, grabs the foot of both. They both go to kick them, and he gives them a somersault with their feet, all of that. Stereo kicks, they're working together, are Dijak and Briggs. So stereo kicks to Femi, rapid shoulder blocks, and they dumped him out. Then Dijak, Briggs thought, right, what are we going to do next? And Dijak, this shoulder, a super kick, straight into Briggs on the apron, which was fabulous. Then you've got Femi outside holding Dijak and using him to smack into Briggs as he comes off the apron. This is great offense. Then he pressed Dijak onto Briggs through the announce chair at Briggs. I mean, it's a padded chair. It's not one of those steel chairs. It's a padded chair. He really smacked it with it. Then you got a double choke slam on Femi. Because you've got to get him down. They both cover him. He kicks out. Hits a double choke slam. There's a super clothesline. A clothesline off the top from Briggs. But Dijak gets his foot on the ropes. Then Dijak hits a choke slam of his own. Briggs kicks out at one. And then there's a counter. Dijak Destroyer. Of the Canadian or US variety. Dijak hit a Destroyer. That man is big. And look at that. For a 2.999, of course. And then Femi picked both of them up in the electric chair position, hit a fall away, and it was almost a pin. It was broken up. Then you've got Dijak aiming some kicks at Femi's face, hitting the Feast Your Eyes on him. Briggs hit the moonsault to break it up. Don't just break it up by falling on them. Hit the moonsault, go on. Second Feast Your Eyes. On from Dijak on Femi, Briggs pulls the ref out. And Briggs celebrates, putting Femi through a barricade, turns into a Dijak Feast Your Eyes on the outside, and then one in the ring. He thinks he's pinned, he thinks Femi's out. Femi picks him up, hits a powerbomb, gets the pin. That was fabulous. Great work. And you know I'm pretty jaded, really. But that was blooming marvellous. And then the match that follows it should be something that is a bit frenetic. And it was, because it was Thea Hale with Chase Yu, and then with Fallon Henley and Kalani Jordan versus JC Jane and Kiana James and Izzy Dame with Jasmine Nix. And the heels attack them first. Jordan hits a drop kick. And Hale then hit the crossbody with a scream, because that's what she's doing now. Screaming, because she's back to that. Jordan is over the top on both of them. She hits some really good moves, but she's just not got the charisma to really push herself here. Yeah. And then Hale went over the top on a dive, but hits Riley Osborne. And she, are you okay, Riley? That gives Jane the chance to choke her a bit. Jordan is up the top preparing. She's pushed off that top. The head is smacked into the mat. Quite nasty, actually. Then a really nasty JC Jane cannonball right onto her face. Right onto your face. A really quite poor Izzy Dame flip. It was too close of... Was it Jordan into the corner? Henley then got the hot tag, took them all down. Kiana James hit a super sliced bread. Sliced bread off the top. Beautiful. James then hit the 401k, and there's the JC knee immediately. Hale breaks up that pin. Nice Hale counter DDT, and of course, a scream, of course. And then a JC Jane jawbreaker sends James to the... Was it JC Jane? Was it? No, it was Jordan jawbreaker. Sends Kiana James right to the outside. She really bounced on that sucker. And then a marvellous moonsault. But Nyx gets a kick on the outside. So now you've got JC Jane and Thea Hale. And this is a beautiful moment. Because you knew they were going to face each other at some point. You know they've fallen out. JC Jane doesn't want any of that. Turns round to look for her tag team partners. There is no one there. And she just puts her hand up to her head. It's similar to the Ric Flair moment at the Royal Rumble 1992. When he threw everyone out. And the next person in was Roddy Piper. And you see his music. I only see his face. Oh no. It was a bit like that. Beautiful moment in a match that was really frenetic. And I'm really glad they made time for it. They exchanged shots to cheers and boos. The fans were really into this actually. And then James helped. I mean really. She kind of helped Thea Hale to put the kimura on. Have you got it on? Is it all right? Can I help at all? She tapped to it. It was fun. It advanced the storyline. It's not ending it. It's not a blow off of the feud, is it? And this one will run and run, won't it? And Hale's got things to do now, which is good because the Riley Osborne thing, they can pick it up if they want to. They seem to be using him in all sorts of different ways. The Hale thing with JC Jane, they may decide to end it. However, it would be a shame if they did because he's still got legs. Mainly because of JC Jane. We know what Thea Hale does, but I want to see more of JC Jane, to be honest. It was all right. And it was a little breather before you got your women's title match. Lyra Valkyria versus Roxanne Perez. Roxanne's got a new attitude. Yeah. And she's, of course, hampered Lyra's arm. And we don't see Tatum Paxley. Tatum Paxley's not here. Well, she is later on, but not at the beginning. Did Lyra tell her to keep to the back? Because at the go-home show, Lyra was angry and Tatum was calm, which was a switch from what they usually do. They didn't give us in this match anything that really made you think that Paxley had changed places or had changed allegiances or that she was... still a rabid super fan. It looked like she's kind of cooled on the idea. It's a bit strange. I'll explain why later. But this was pretty good. Because what you've got here is... And by the way, Lyra's black wings look great. Always do. And what you got here is Perez going for the arm. And I like it when someone takes a body part and works on that. Early on, Lyra's favouring the arm, sort of holding it. But then she dumps Perez to the mat twice using that arm. Really, maybe that should come in later on when more adrenaline is flowing, I think. But then Roxanne worked the arm. She smacked the arm first. Lyra was on the mat and she did that. It's great, actually. Mimes just kicking dust over her. That's great. I love that. Really love that. She came off the top on the arm. She hit an arm DDT, one arm DDT, single arm DDT, tied the arm in the rope and stomped it, cranked on it, snapped back on it, hit a suplex, then got the arm bar where she was really wrenching back. Very nice, you know. Valkyria came back with a crossbody off the top and then a backdrop. She came back with some strikes and clotheslines that she sold. They weren't good clotheslines because of the arm. So she's selling that, which is good, you know. Then a Northern Lights suplex, which is very nice, actually. Looked lovely. The ref then checked on the arm. Are you all right? But quite rightly, because there's no timeouts in wrestling, Roxanne went for the arm, straight to the arm. Lyra carried her for a sit-out powerbomb for a long two count, which she couldn't do if she had a bad arm, I don't think. But then she went to... Roxanne bailed. Lyra went to jump through, dive through the ropes, got smacked as she came through. And then Roxanne, back through the ropes, with a spiked, into a spiked DDT. She dived on her into a spiked DDT. That was fabulous. And then hit the Pop Rocks for 2.999, recurring, and anger that she kicked out. Now, then Roxanne wouldn't stop the punches. She did this twice. The ref didn't disqualify her. Here comes Paxley. She didn't really do anything. She kind of just stands there, sort of. She puts her, I think she puts her hand on the arm as if to say, is it all right? Doesn't really do very much. She's there so that Lyra can be thrown into her by mistake, and then Roxanne can pull the arm round the post, which doesn't do anything. It doesn't, I mean, it's just a piece of, it's just a bit of metal. Oh, that's a vague. I can feel it that vaguely. I might have a bruise there in the morning, but it's nothing else, is it? Okay, so then you've got the crossface from Roxanne, but then she's rolled over. Lyra hits a spinning kick for a long two count. Nice poison Rana from Roxanne. Have to say, that was really good. And after they have swapped some covers and all of that, there's Pop Rocks into a crossface. The crowd are loving it. Lyra tries to get to the ropes. She's dragged back to the middle of the ring and she has to tap. It is beautifully done. Your new champion is Roxanne Perez. She's tried really hard in this heel persona. And I've enjoyed the work she's done. It's not been fantastic, but I've enjoyed what she's done. She deserves it. You deserve it. And I've never really been captivated by Lyra Valkyria's work in the ring. I think that outside the ring, the promos and the work she does is great. And she's learnt, and that's lovely. But I've not been sure in the ring. And we'll see what happens with Roxanne Perez. I think it might be a short reign, but because she might be bound to the main roster. By the way, no main roster stars here, apart from Corbin. No main roster stars here tonight, I don't think, if I remember rightly. So that's good. I like that. I'm really pleased because NXT can shine on its own. And what happened next was that it was Ilya Dragunov versus Tony D'Angelo. Now, you've got a similar situation, haven't you, here? Because Tony, or rather Stax, messed up Ilya's hand. So Tony's going to be going for that, isn't he? So he's picking a body part. And so it's a similar match. And Ilya, even though he'll take the pain, he sells that very well. So, they go over the top rope to the floor early on. So you can see what kind of match it's going to be. Ilya hits two suplexes, but as Vic points out rightly, by the way, it was Vic and Wade Barrett with Booker T, Freeman Booth, and he points out that there were no interlocked fingers on that suplex. This is the kind of really small work that we need to see. There will be something later on that Tony D'Angelo does that's even better regarding these the finger situation. So, back in the ring, we've got Tony carrying him back first into the ring post. I like that, like a baby, in a way. Then a huge Death Valley driver to the barricade from Ilya. While he was doing that, while he was carrying him to the barricade, Tony D'Angelo was grabbing hold of Ilya's fingers. Now, that is the kind of very, very close work that you need to really sell this. It's beautiful. Now, his family are at ringside, of course. Stax and, you know, Lucio Crucifino and Rizzo. And they're all there, by the way. And after a huge Dragunov clothesline for a long two count and a release powerbomb, Stax hands Tony brass knucks. They were shiny. I mean, he got some brasso on them. But Tony passes them back. He doesn't want to do it like that. He doesn't want it to go down like that. So Dragunov hits a counter DDT, which is lovely. And while he's smacking him up on the mat, looks directly at the family. It's great. Stax gets on the apron. Tony tells him to go, saying, it's mine. It's beautiful. It's good storytelling, this. Really good storytelling. Tony hits a belly-to-belly suplex. Two of them, in fact. And Dragunov then tries to get some offense going. Runs into a massive clothesline. And then off the top, a super belly-to-belly suplex from Tony. Dragunov hits the H-bomb on the outside, shouts, "It's not over," and it isn't, because he gets on the barrier, the top of the barricade, and leaps onto an announce table. I don't think it was the announce table, with Tony on it, and the H-bomb. Table collapses. Job's a good'un. Then we get a torpedo Moscow on the back of the head, and that sets up the H-bomb off the top, a super H-bomb if you like, for the pin. They shake at the end. I knew that Tony D'Angelo wouldn't win, but it just elevates him, doesn't it? And they think a lot of him, and quite rightly too. Now that was your main belt event, but this is your main event, because you're going to womp that trick, womp that trick, I like it, womp that trick, it doesn't rhyme or go with anything that is doing with the music, but I like it. Yeah, I thought that Booker wouldn't do it. I was thinking, well, the crowd were really into it, of course, not Booker, but Trick. And Mello got some cheers as well, to be honest. But he did do it. I thought, he's not gonna do it. Brilliant. He didn't do it at the Go Home show. Maybe he's listening to my podcast. I think he does. And, I'd like to think he does. And he did do it. Oh, dear. I think he thought about it, but there you go. Anyway, Mello was arrogant early on. He also did that kicking the dust into the face thing. You know, that mime. It's very good. He got a slap. Trick got a shot back. Then they fight up the aisle, and Mello came off the barricade with a splash. And I think it might have been a group of fans loyal to Trick, or maybe family or something like that. Squares up to one of them and just flicks his hat off his head. That was great. Thought that was great. The bloke thought that was fun as well, which is nice. Then, because there's nothing like doing it to a fan who then decides to go into business for himself or herself. There's all that. Yeah. Then there's a tilt-a-whirl face buster from Mello into a Trick neck breaker, and the boot, that big Trick boot, for a long two count. Mello trash talked him. I mean, it was one of those attritional matches where they were all having a bit, you know, everyone was tired and they were all sweaty and one of those kind of things. It wasn't great, because you expect a lot, don't you? And it's the blow-off feud match, isn't it? And you expect something special, and they can't really live up to it. And I can understand why. So by the middle of this match, Mello can't put Trick down, can't put him out, should I say, and he's trash talking to the back of Trick's head. Well, really, trash talk to his face, and then he might be able to understand it. Takes the tape off his wrist, really, really telegraphs this, "I'm going to choke him, folks." Trick counters it. There is a ref bump. Yeah, we don't need that in a match like this. Mello immediately chop blocks Trick, gets a chair. Trick, though, grabs it, uses it on Mello. I mean, repeatedly. He really smacked him. Womp that back. Womp that back, aha. Womp that back with a chair. Womp that back, I like it, I really do. Womp that back, oh yes, that's right. That kind of thing. I can do it as well, you see, Booker. So he really smacked him. Mello came back with a low blow. And there was a kick out from, because the ref's back up a bit now, kick out from Trick. The kick from Trick. Then there's another ref bump, as Wade Barrett says, "The unluckiest referee I've ever seen." There's a bit of irony here, because it's overbooked in that respect, in my view. Then Trick actually, I mean, Mello gets up for the nothing but net. Trick doesn't half wait for it for a long time. Second ref in, he kicks out, gets the knee for the pin, and there you go. That was it. It didn't live up to expectation, the match, but the whole card, which I didn't think was anything special or wasn't going to be anything special, was blooming marvellous. And PLEs remain fantastic. Premium live events. Premium live events, all you lot, that's what they are, remain marvellous for NXT. This was something very special, particularly the North American Championship match, particularly Dijak. I mean, he really needs to be given a title. And soon. But, yeah, marvellous. Just marvellous. Main event didn't live up to it. The title matches lived up to it. The tag match, that really lived up to it. And I think it's probably a 9 out of 10. And really, NXT can do this on their own with no help. Because they had no help from any main roster people on this premium live event. And you see what they did? Let's see if that continues on NXT, because just let them do what they do. It's a faint hope, really, isn't it? Ta-ta.